The key thing is being clear about that future you have. And if you start thinking about that, it may be uncomfortable initially because you're like, man, I'm not living up to my potential. But once you become aware of it and you start thinking, well, there's so much more I can do, then you can start taking the necessary action to move towards that.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to announce our guest, Jens Nielsen. Jens, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Sujay, I'm excited to talk to you today.
Awesome. Well, everyone, Jens has a ton of experience. He immigrated from Denmark in 1996, and after a long career in IT, Jens is now a full-time real estate investor and certified high-performance coach. He is currently a direct owner or general partner in over 1,000 apartment units around the country, valued at over $75 million. Jens is also a passive investor and he's in several different asset classes, and we're really excited to hear from him on a lot of different topics. So Jens, thanks so much for being here. Why don't you start us off by talking about how and why you got into real estate?
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I was working in IT and I felt like it was a good career, it was making good money, but I never had the freedom to move outside. I didn't have any way to really impact my income beyond, you know, getting a small raise or bonus or a new job. And I was like, you know, something was missing, and I was nearing my, you know, mid 40s. I was like, man, something has to give. Otherwise, I'm doing this for another 25 years. And that's when I discovered, you know, the path of real estate investing, picked up a book, started reading. And I was like, wow, this is super exciting. And I felt like this is an opportunity to really create a new career, a new way of generating money that wasn't 100% related to, you know, trading hours for money. So that's where I found it and I got into it, and I really kind of, you know, dove straight into it and immersed myself with everything. So that was kind of the start. It was just finding a way to create some income that wasn't directly tied to my time, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's so important. It's like for a lot of people who are in this sort of W-2 space, you know, you work so hard for a raise, and then, you know, sometimes they're pretty small, and like the amount of time that it takes that you have to put into your job, at least in the field that I was in, to get a raise, it just wasn't really commensurate with the amount of value that you were adding to the company. You know, you weren't getting paid based on how much value you were bringing. And it's just it's a tough path. And so makes sense to me. And yeah. So you picked up a book, and did you start with single family, multifamily? Where'd you start?
Yeah. So I looked in my local market, which is an expensive town in Colorado. And I was like, man, it doesn't make sense to buy single family. So I quickly decided to invest out of state, which was New Mexico. So it was only about a 4-hour drive, but I realized I couldn't see myself scale with single family. Why would I go and buy one single family house 5 hours away and do it again and again? So I quickly just said, let me do multifamily. And I luckily got connected with a broker who was also an investor, and he kind of, you know, mentored me, or yeah, I guess was my mentor, and he helped me buy the first couple of deals. So in the first 6-7 months, we bought 3 properties, 2 fourplexes and 11 unit. So we had 19 unit in a very relatively short period of time. Oh, that sounds like a lot. They didn't cash flow a whole lot because they were pretty poor quality. So we had to put a lot of money into them initially. But I mean, things have changed. I have sold the 2 fourplexes since, but I still have the 11 unit, which is doing quite well now.
Okay, awesome. So what were some of the challenges with getting started, would you say? Like when you think back to that time, getting into it for the, you know, what were some of the things that you were bumping up against?
Getting started early on, I'm an introvert by nature, and actually making phone calls, quote unquote, cold calls, even to, you know, brokers and other things, was something that I didn't like doing, right? If I had a warm introduction, I'd feel better about it. But just starting to get out of my comfort zone to, you know, who do I need to connect with? Who are the brokers? Who are the lenders and everything else? It was a challenge for me to do that initially because I felt like I didn't know anything, right? And that was the initial challenge. And then I think the next song was really, yeah. You know, I mean, back then the deals made a lot more sense than they do today. But I think the mistake I may have made was I looked more at, oh, this was cheap, let me buy it. More versus, oh, does this make sense? Is this a good neighborhood? Is this a good property to buy, right? So initially I was just so focused on price, which I've also changed my outlook on a lot since then.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think anyone who starts, even if you're starting out and wanting to do passive investing, like still it's so critical to be willing to put yourself out there and talk to people because it's a hard thing. It can be hard at first. But once it's like a muscle, once you build it, you know, you can keep using it, it gets stronger. And so, but yeah, I mean, even whether you're on the active side or the passive side, there's so much knowledge and expertise to be gained through networking and expanding your contacts. You'll learn so much from other people who are already in it. And it's just like an absolutely critical part of the business. Okay. So, you know, you touched on something which I want to hit on, which is, you know, hard to find deals that look good this year. So can you talk a little bit about that and what you guys are doing to make deals work in this environment?
Yeah, I mean, we thought that during COVID that, the real estate market was going to fall apart, but it actually went the opposite direction, surprisingly. And I think because interest rates were super low and people still needed a place to live. And in most places, you know, there was a high rent collection in most markets. So it became a very attractive investment because you couldn't really put your money anywhere else, right? So I think those are some of the reasons why it went up. And so we've seen, you know, cap rate compressing in many of the markets. So the way we've dealt with that, I mean, we invest in markets that are kind of, you know, more of a secondary, tertiary market in, for example, Cleveland, Ohio, and around there, which are probably off the radar of a lot of people, but, you know, we still like those markets. And one of the reasons why we've been successful there is that one of my partners has a long-standing relationship with brokers and lenders in that market. So we've gotten the opportunity to look at deals before they, you know, everybody in the world can see them. Of course, that's not something that everybody can just do, but that's an opportunity that we have had, right? And then also our underwriting, you know, we definitely look at what are the future opportunities this deal has versus, you know, how the seller may be operating. So that's another way to kind of look at it.
Yeah. Okay. So just to dig into that a little bit, in the markets that you're operating, which are not as hot markets, you know, they're not technically hot real estate markets, I think. I'm sure you're looking at demand, you know, population and job demographics. Like, how are those looking in the markets you're buying?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly not a growing market like a Phoenix or a Dallas or something like that. Fairly flat. But also what we see then, there's not a lot of new inventory being built. So it's kind of, you know, if you don't see a lot of inventory and you still have a fairly steady population, it's still going to work out, right? So we try to focus on kind of core, real nicer areas of those cities where young professional wants to live or students want to live or something like that. So we buy because there's several university and there's the Cleveland Clinic and there's all these things. So the urban kind of core seems to do pretty well, right? And we try to create a nice product there, right? So yeah, we don't have any illusions that things, you know, rent is going to go up by 6 or 7% a year and all this stuff. So these are long-term steady cash flowing deals that we buy. And our investors are aware that this is, you know, 7+ a year hold time, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, but it does still make sense. I mean, as long as those cities are not shrinking, then there's going to be, if you can provide better housing than what is currently being offered in the market, then, you know, you're going to have customers to fill those apartment units. So yeah, so longer hold periods, real estate market got hot. Like, what is it else that you're looking for these days?
Yes. I mean, right now we're definitely looking for that value add component, right? So we bought a portfolio of 104 units in that market in December. And we have the experience operating it. We're seeing what the tenants want. So for example, this portfolio, the existing one, had washer and dryers in half the units. And that's such a huge driver. People call and say, do you have a washer and dryer? And if there is, that drives the rent up. So this new portfolio, we have one under contract, 187 units. None of the units have washer and dryers in them. They just have it in the basement and stuff like that. So we're like, okay, if we can put, you know, a washer and dryer in some sort of combo unit, there is a huge value add component there right away. So that's one thing we look at. We look at, you know, where can we save water? Where can we be efficient in operation? So it's a lot about the operation side, and then also about, you know, taking it from a, you know, I think right now it's maybe a B- product, C+ product, something like that. But going in and really upgrading it, you know, putting new appliances, kitchens, bathrooms and stuff, and really make it a nice product, then that also will drive some rent growth there, you know. So still that, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. So when you're looking at do you have any sort of guidelines or, you know, rules about underwriting rent growth that you guys use in your projections?
We pretty much stay pretty flat. So we really have two models there. One is, what is the potential rent? What is the market rent that we can charge if we upgrade the units, put washer and dryers in, right? So that's the delta between current and, you know, upgraded. That could be pretty significant if we have, you know, a tired landlord or something. So we have that. But then after we get it up to that level, you know, we typically just underwrite about a 2% rent growth to, you know, keep up with historical inflation and so forth, right? So it may be better, it may be worse, but we feel like that's a conservative estimate on rent growth right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think if you're operating in an urban core with, like, I think that 2% is actually, I mean, it's, I don't think that's aggressive at all, right? I think that's probably pretty standard when I say standard, I think that's how, you know, a bank would underwrite it. Whereas probably, you know, some of the other people buying apartment complexes would maybe be a little bit more aggressive, even in a market that's, you know, not a growing market. So I like that you're underwriting conservatively. Cool. So you're obviously a coach also, and, you know, you focus a lot on mindset. Can you talk about mindset and how you think that, you know, what you think opportunities people have for improving their mindset so it doesn't necessarily hold them back from what they want in life?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I mean, I think a lot of people are not really clear about their vision and where they want to go. So they just take day by day. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to go to work tomorrow and the day after that. And the weekend comes, they kind of do something to, you know, forget about that monotonous life they have, right? So I think a key thing is really to look ahead in your life and figure out, okay, what do I truly want to achieve? What do I want to go? And what are some of the dreams that I haven't achieved yet that I want to maybe pursue? And I think that's just a key thing, is being clear about that future you have. And if you start thinking about that, it may be uncomfortable initially because you're like, man, I'm not living up to my potential. But once you become aware of it and you start thinking, well, there's so much more I can do, then you can start taking the necessary action to move towards that, right? And I just feel like they're the silent masses that are just stuck in this kind of mediocrity and never really dreaming beyond where they're at, and they can't see that path forward. So, you know, as a coach, that's one of the key things that we work with, is always, well, where do you want to go? What are some of the dreams that you have that you haven't been able to articulate to either yourself or your significant others? And you speak with a coach and share that, and it comes out, and it's like, okay, this is awesome. How can we get you there, right? And you start building those plans, right? So I think that's what's so important in the coaching world.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. I mean, it's an easy thing to talk about, but a harder thing to do is actually, you know, getting really crystal clear on that vision. And it might not happen all at once, right? But it's got to be this sort of thing that you're constantly working on and developing, because it will drive you towards, you know, actually achieving more and having more of the life that, you know, you're so excited about living. And that's one of my passions also, is just, I think the more people that have more free time, less stress, less financial stress, don't necessarily have to trade time for money, the more people are going to have time to think, to spend on what really matters to them, including causes, including making the world a better place for everyone, right? It's just hard to actually make the world a better place when everyone's kind of really busy and stressed out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said.
So do you have any like tips for how people can get clear on the vision? Like, where do you normally have people start?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of look at, you know, when you think about the life, your past life, when have you felt the most happy? Because we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we know what happened in the past, right? So when did you feel most happy and content and kind of in, you know, just in the flow with things? And think about, what were you doing then, right? Were you being artistic? Were you doing different job, where you were spending time with people, whatever it may be, think about that first. That, oh, when I did that at that time, I felt pretty good about it. Once you kind of have that, you can say, okay, if I were to recreate that in the future, what would that look like, right? And a lot of people say, well, I want to make, you know, X number of dollars or whatever. That's not what a vision is. The vision is like, what are you doing? What are the people you hang out with? How are you contributing? How are you growing personally and all those things, right? So it's a bigger vision. It's not so much goals are one thing. Goals come from a vision, but vision is that bigger thing that's going to drive you towards that amazing future. But, you know, we just look at what has made people happy in the past and how can they somehow recreate some of that going forward.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think it is that keeps, you know, so many people kind of stuck in, like, you know, this in a life where they're not really actively working towards fulfilling their potential and, you know, having that amazing life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't even really consider the idea of having a professional help you, right? I mean, I had a look at personal development or personal growth for a long time, like, whatever, until I started experiencing it myself. So I think there is a limiting belief that people don't think that they need help, they can figure it out, right? But most people do need a little bit of a helping hand moving forward. So I think that's one, not really knowing where to start. I mean, there's a million self-help books, and some of them can help you move forward, but having an actual person that you are accountable to changes it a lot, right? And just having the courage to start exploring things that may be uncomfortable to explore initially, but over time, you're like, yeah, you know, I had a W-2 job that I was somewhat okay with. I knew there was more, but I didn't have the courage to really make the decisive moves to move out of it. And it wasn't until I worked with my coach and got clear on that. It's like, yes, I made some promises to myself, to my wife, to my future that I was not keeping, and having that clarity just helped me make the right moves.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, what else do you find are like common themes that come up with your coaching clients, like in terms of, I don't know, whatever it is related to life or achieving goals?
I think it's productivity is another big challenge, right? We get so busy. Yeah. Oh, let me look at my email and my text and focus on that versus thinking about sitting down and actually planning out the day, right? And my productivity hack right now, after trying a bunch of different things, is just having an old-fashioned spiral notebook. And I just write out hour by hour, what am I doing today? Boom, boom, boom. So I know what am I supposed to work on next. So I'm not looking around for somebody else to tell me what to do, right? So that's my hack. Yeah, it's, you know, yeah. Otherwise, you know, you're just like, oh, let me see if there's an email I can reply to, because then you're staying busy for the next 5 minutes. So I think productivity holds people back a lot. You know, and also not being clear about what they want to do, but we talked about that already. You know, not having courage to really explore what is it we want to do. We have a dream, but we don't have the courage to actually go move towards it, and that holds us back as well.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think those two, I mean, just in your conversations with folks, do you think those two are kind of related, the productivity and the not having the confidence to move towards your goals? Or do you think they're just separate? I'm just curious.
I think, you know, if, as I mentioned earlier, I was kind of like had a hesitancy to call brokers. So if you have a task that you don't want to do, you may just keep yourself busy with something that's not important, right? So I think, you know,
yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I mean, your amazing life is on the other side of discomfort. I can't remember who said that. But, you know, there's these uncomfortable things that we don't want to do. And if we are not being productive, if we work on the wrong things, we may hold ourselves back from actually doing the things that is going to move us forward.
Yeah, for sure. It's so important to like schedule and time block and then actually stick to it, you know, and it can be hard too. I know you've recently transitioned, or maybe it's several months ago, transitioned away from your W-2 job. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And, you know, I mean, it's one thing to do real estate on the side of a W-2 job, and it's another thing to be completely in charge of your own days and schedules. So how has that transition been for you, you know, having like totally open schedule as opposed to what you had before?
Well, I thought I was going to have this time to do all these amazing things, right? But so I'll say the most interesting thing that has come up for me is I take my time. I value my time a lot more than I did when I was working. Which is funny, right? Because if you're in the office from 8 to 5, you're like, well, I'm happy to be here anyway. Let me screw around and go shopping on the internet and do other things. Now I'm like, okay, if I'm not working on something productive in front of my computer, I can go and go for a bike ride or walk my dogs or do something else versus just being tied to my desk, which I felt I was for years and years, right? So that was the biggest thing, right? I mean, I'm plenty busy and I have lots of things going on, and I definitely have to be careful about not falling into a staying busy trap, which is something I tend to do. So just being conscious, aware of how am I staying productive? And that's something I work on every day.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting challenge. You know, I mean, just, yeah, being at the office, being tied to your desk is, it does kind of morph how we think about our own time, you know, in a sort of unnatural way. Because like how you spend your time isn't necessarily, like productivity isn't necessarily correlated with how much time you have to be at your desk, right? Like, you know, with certain jobs, you still have to be at your desk a certain amount of time, or you're just expected to produce more and more and more, which is, yeah, it's kind of not really a very well designed, you know, sort of situation. So, and then, you know, for all you folks who are thinking about transitioning, it's a different game. Like when you're in the master of your own day and schedule, then you also have to be, you have to be your own boss and you have to set boundaries and for yourself. And there's a lot of freedom in that, but there's also some accountability that you have to kind of build in. I mean, everyone's a little different about how they are going to approach it. It's definitely something that is a work in progress in my life always, but yeah. So Jens, like I want to try to get at something that, you know, we talked about a little bit before the call, which is what would you say your deeper why and purpose and vision for your work is? Like, you know, what drives you to get up and do this every day?
Well, thanks for asking that. I think initially when I started, you know, 5 years ago, I was like, man, I want more time to go hiking and biking and skiing, all those things, right? While I still was, well, not too old. I'll be 50 here in a month, but I felt like, you know, I didn't want to, so I want to have that, yeah, that for me. But, you know, the mission and the purpose has definitely grown, right? So on the coaching side, I mean, I am so passionate about helping people move to the next level in their life, right? And it was so, I mean, I had a coaching call with a client yesterday, a grown man, and I actually, well, I didn't make him cry, but he did cry because he saw something so much bigger in him that he hadn't articulated to anybody. He got so emotional about it. I was like, oh my God, I mean, here's somebody that carries the world on his shoulders. And he's like, man, but I know there's more. And he got, you know, so that was just a huge breakthrough for this guy, right? And if, yeah, I can see that and help people move forward, I mean, that is so super rewarding, right? So I love the coaching side of it. On the real estate side, I mean, really what I enjoy a lot is just the people I get to work with, the people that are focused on something similar, you know, in new, just building wealth, building a nice community for their tenant, and just contributing to the world, right? So my why is basically, let's just improve the property, let's improve the investors, the tenants' lives in general, and take it from there, right? So those, I think, my two driving forces.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think those are both really important, you know, and it can't be understated the impact that, you know, apartment owners can have on their tenants' lives, because it's where their tenants are, you know, living, sometimes working and playing, you know. And so to have a place that's nice, that's clean, that works, that, you know, has better amenities, that's just that, you know, we're all in the business of improving our properties, right? And that's something that, you know, if usually we're doing that because we're buying a property, we see there's room to improve the property so that people can have better lives. And it's just, it's such an important thing to remember that, like, and it's also an important responsibility, you know, that we have a responsibility to our tenants to make sure that we're doing right by them. And so, yeah, it's a privilege and it's a passion. And I can see that you definitely have that with your properties. Well, thank you so much, Jens, for coming on the show. Is there anything that you want to add before you tell the listeners how to get a hold of you?
No, I think, you know, the whole coaching thing, I think people don't necessarily need coaching, but it is such an, if you have never had an opportunity to explore it, it's such a life-changing game. So, I mean, that's I think the last thing I wanted to share today.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's so important. You know, so many people in our space and in many other spaces get coaches. I mean, we talked about this with like Olympic athletes. Like, would you ever try to be an Olympic athlete without a coach? No, I mean, you don't even play like soccer when you're 8 years old without a coach, right? So it's it's something that we are familiar with, but is not like common enough just in life, right? And so, and in business, we go into business, the business world, and, you know, suppose we have a boss, but we don't necessarily have a coach who's invested in like our overall life outlook. And so, yeah, definitely it's super life-changing, super important. Jens, you're with High Performance Coach, right?
Yeah, I'm a certified high performance coach, which is one of Brendon Burchard's, it's kind of his program. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah. So my website is opendoorscapital.com. And my email is jens@opendoorscapital.com. They can link up with me on my website and just reach out there. I'd love to talk to anybody who want to learn more.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all take some time to check out Jens's website and reach out to him. Thanks again so much, Jens, for coming on and sharing so many wonderful insights for our audience. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.